Father, we give you all of the praise. Holy Spirit, thank you for guiding us and directing us even this week. Jesus, our Savior, you have confirmed our salvation through what you did for us on the cross, of which we are in that season of Lent and celebrating not only your death, but your burial and your resurrection. For if you had not risen, then we wouldn't have any reason for being here today. And so, Lord, we want to just prepare our hearts each week a little bit more for that. We want to pray for our church, but we also want to pray for Southern Baptist churches everywhere. I know we can pray for churches everywhere, but I want to specifically pray for the convention that we belong to and that we would continue to do the good work that you have given us to do. And that is to be people who share, not hoard, the blessings that you've given us. There are people all over the world who could use your love. It may be a handout or a hand up. You show us how to do it. And Lord, that'll be good enough for us. We thank you for our worship team in leading us today. And you are a miracle worker, a way maker. I don't know about anybody else, but I tell you what, I just got into singing that song to you because that is who you are. That is who you are. It is in Jesus' name that we pray and God give all due praise. Amen. I have oftentimes told you how I get my preaching material as well as my teaching material. And I think you remember me saying to you that I always go back to the ancient text, in other words, to the text itself, find out what was going on then, and then looking for the gems. I'm looking for the gold, as Jesus told in his story about the man who bought the field. I'm looking for the precious truth, that central truth, and then the principles that support that truth. And so, and I've been preaching now over 50 something years. So I still have not preached through the Bible. And not only that, but I've learned, just like when you go to do mining, you sometimes can go back and find there's more gold there. And so the sermon that I'm preaching to you this morning, I have never preached before. So you are the first to get it. And I have preached the text, but I have never preached this message. And so, and I do believe that it is a message from the Lord. And so I've entitled it, Get Back to God. Get back to God. I think all of us can identify with this. And what I mean by this is that in my culture, they call it backslidden. You know, when you've gotten away from the Lord. How many of you, since you've been saved, you've been 100% in? You've never backslidden. Only two people, three people. I won't say what I'm going to say about those three people here, but there is a saying that if you lie about that, you'll lie about anything. Even if you've not gone way out there, probably none of us have been as close to the Lord as we'd like to be. In other words, it's always some, you know, sort of like being married. You know, I find that, you know, there's a lot of things I can do in this marriage to help make things better. Cheryl can do a lot of things to help make things better. But when you come right down to it, it's all about us getting closer. And I have to decide I want that. I have to decide that that's important for me. So I want you to think about that whole idea of getting back to God. But I want to say, get up to get back to God. If I were to ask you this morning to point to God, I'll do it. Point to God. Let me see you just point. See, most everybody are going up. Sister Darlene is going all the way around. I think most of us would point up, and there's a reason for me saying get up to get back to God, because all of the principles that I'm going to teach you this morning have to do with us getting up. Are you with me? All right. So we're going to be looking at some familiar verses, and that's Luke 15, 13, 14 is the backdrop. Actually, you can go back further than that. I think you can go to 11, where it talks about the man had two sons. He was very wealthy. And the one son said, hey, give me my part right now. And he was a greedy little rascal. Of course, none of us have children like that. And so the man decided to divide his estate with his two sons. And the story goes from there in terms of what happened. The main theme, though, the main idea of this text is lostness and foundness, or getting back to God. Being lost, are you working with me? Being lost and now getting back to God, being found. So what are the principles? How do you do it? I think that these principles will work for a lot of other things, and they're not necessarily a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 principle. I think any one of them, you have to decide where you are, and then you say, okay, maybe all 6 of them, but you have to decide, and there are 6 of them. So in verses 13 and 14, why don't we read together? Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So we kind of see, remember the context was, the younger son went to the father and said, give me what's due me now, which was totally unheard of. It's like giving your, the person dies and then you give them, you know, what is supposed to be dead. But he wanted now. I love the way King James says. He says he went to a far country. He got way out there. Now, I'd be interested, because I'm not a young person anymore, but I'd be interested, and maybe I wouldn't be, of what does it mean to be way far out there today? I don't know. Maybe you'd grab me and say, Pastor, let me tell you what's happening way out there today. Anyway, verse 14. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So not only does he lose everything, but a famine comes. I mean, a lot of people are affected by the famine, and he doesn't have anything, and people are around him are experiencing this too, so they don't want to give him anything. So there are 6 principles. The first principle, if you want to get back to God, you got to get fed up. If you want to get back to anything that is of value to you, then where you are, you have to get fed up with it. You have to do an examination and say to yourself, what I had is way, way better than where I am right now. I have done some things. I have said some things. This is not a good place that where I am. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there before where you just got, my mama would say, sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, Luke 15, 17 says it this way. When he came to his senses, everybody say senses. That means when he got into his right mind. Anybody ever had a child of yours talk to you? It wasn't in their right mind. You had to step back and say, who are you talking to? Where did this come from? When did you start acting like this? Well, when he came to his senses, that's a good place. That's not a bad place. But let me say this to you, because it is very important here before I go on. And there is a comma, we pause. Nobody is born with the right senses. Nobody is born. If senses are connected to logic, in other words, what is the right way of doing it? What is the way that is supposed to be the best way? What we who are followers of Jesus Christ is saying is that the word of God makes sense. That if you don't have God's word, you're going to make up your own sense. You're going to make up your own righteousness. You're going to go your own way. And so this boy is really a representation of so many of us who have been on this path before, where we have gotten out there, we have done some things, and we found ourselves in a lost condition. But thank God I came to my what? I came to my senses. You know, people will start giving you a break when they see you acting right. No, seriously. You know, people will give you a break when they see you've gotten so far out there, but all of a sudden they say, you know what? You are at least dressing a little bit better. You know, something is happening with you. The boy came to his senses. Now, we are in Luke 15, the story of the lost sons. Not just one son, the story of the lost sons. And the main idea is getting back to God. We've been there. We don't have to point our finger at this guy right here. Every one of us, not only those of us who are saved in here, but those who are not saved in here, but those who are saved, we've gotten away. And the way to get back is to what? Get so fed up with where I am. Because as long as you enjoy where you are, you know, that's how you get drug addicts. That's how you get addicted to anything. You enjoy it. It's pleasurable. It's killing you, but you enjoy it until you stop enjoying it. Until you get fed up with it killing you. Until you get to the point where you say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm tired of being tired. Hey, look at the word blame. B-L-A-M-E. When you take the B off, what you get? No more lame excuses. The problem is where I am. Young people, the problem is who I'm hanging out with. Y'all don't hear me. The problem is I am around. I have put myself. I'm not blaming anybody else. Y'all want me to sit down? I have put myself in a situation where I need to say it is time to go. It doesn't make sense. I'm sure you've seen that before. Individuals who have been in such a bad situation till you say, how can you stay there? How can you be around those folk like that? How can you spend time? How can you invest your money in that? Well, sometimes it takes being fed up. Let me hear you say fed up. I'm fed up. You know, this is how we come to Jesus, because I'm fed up with where I am. And I have heard enough and I have seen enough in other folks' lives that says, this is better. You know, that's why it says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, when it talks about Paul and the Lord's Supper, it says everybody ought to do what? Everybody ought to examine themselves. You know, you got to do an examination of yourself and see. And I would say this for everybody who is here, that if it is not better being with Jesus, then don't change. But if it's better being with Jesus, then let it go. Let that go which is holding you. Let that go which has captured you. Let that go that's got its hands upon you and say, I'd rather have Jesus than to have this right here. I am fed up with where I am, and I'm going forward. So the first one is fed up. The second one is face up. Face up. And face up is Luke 15, 18, and 19. Look at what he says here. This is different than being fed up. Face up means that I am taking responsibility for my blame. It's not about nobody else. I'm here because of me. Look at how many times he said, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned. You know, he could have said, you know, all those people out there, those are the ones that got me on drugs. All of those folks out there in that place, those are the ones that made me steal. You know, all those people, those were the ones, I'm in this condition because of them. He says, no, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I got to face up. There's another word for facing up, owning up. That's my stuff right there. You know, whenever we do something good or whenever our children do something good, we're quick to say this, aren't we? That's my boy right there. That's my girl right there, boy. Look at what they're doing over there. Oh, that's mine over there. But when they do something bad, oh, that's hers. That's his right there. He was the one. No, I have a responsibility, and I've got to own up to it. And sometimes as parents, even our children, they pick up our bad habits. Can I get a witness? And it didn't kill me. It didn't break me down, but to see your child broke down, that is a hard thing right there. So in order to get back to the Father, in order to get back to Jesus, in order to get back to the Holy Spirit, sometimes I'm in a predicament where I need to face up. The problem is not somebody else, but the problem is who? The problem is me. The problem is me. As a matter of fact, 99.9% of the time, the problem is not somebody else keeping me back. It's me. And I'm going to own it, and I'm going to face up to it. And that's principle number two. Now, principle number three is fess up. And fess up is a word. It comes from the word confess. That now, you know, I'm fed up. I faced up, now I got to fess up. I've got to repent. It's nothing worse than seeing where you have been wrong. There's nothing worse than seeing where I'm in the wrong place. There's nothing worse than seeing all of this coming to your senses and then stay there. I have got to make a decision. What do I want to do? What am I going to do with this life? I am to blame. I am not blaming anybody else. But why I am where I am. But if I'm going to get out, then I have got to be the one to say, I am going to start the trip back. You know, the wonderful thing about God is that he's always trying to reach us. The Bible says that he stands at the door knocking. But I got to open up the door. He's not just going to bust into your life. I've got to open up the door and to let him in. I've got to fess up. Verses 20 and 21. And so he got up and he went to his father. You notice all of the other talking before, he hadn't done anything. He would just say, I'm going to do this. I've come to my senses. This is better. But on this day and at this moment, he says, I'm getting up. I'm not sitting down. I'm a big one on effort. And why do I say that? I believe that God blesses our work. I believe if you want anything in life, and really it is one of the most important principles to teach your children, and that is you take one step, he'll take two. But you cannot just sit there and expect to get something from nothing. I mentioned to you the other week about the guy who wanted oranges, and he says, oh, let me tell you what, we're going to have oranges this year. And then when the season came around, he didn't have any oranges. Somebody asked him, you know, you were talking about you're going to have oranges. What happened? He says, I don't know. I just don't have any oranges. He said, did you plant any oranges? No. Well, if you didn't plant anything, then why should you expect the harvest? Life is about reaping and harvesting. About planting and harvesting. If I don't put anything in, I shouldn't get anything out. He says, I gotta get up. I've got to do something. And so he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. I just want to stop here for just a second. A long way off. You know, we know our kids, even by the way they walk, don't we? You know, my boy, I have one boy and three girls, and I can tell the way they walk, each and every one of them walk differently. And if they were a long way from me, I could still tell. Oh, there's PJ. Oh, there's Shanna. Oh, there's Tamora. Oh, there's Lorraine. I got a feeling that this father, when he saw his boy, the only thing in his mind was, my boy is coming. Not that he was out here doing this. Not that he threw away everything that I gave him. Not that he went through all of these bad experiences, but he sees him and his heart is filled with passion. That's my boy. I believe that's the same kind of feeling that God wants us to have for all of his children. Even those that don't know him, that need to know that God's out here looking for you. And that he wants you to get fed up enough to come back. He wants you to face up your situation. He doesn't want you to just come to him. He wants you to face up to it. And then he wants you to repent. Repentance is huge. You know, sometimes we give the invitation and that, you know, after the sermon, and the invitation is important for people who have never accepted Jesus Christ. But sometimes the podium ought to be flooded with people who are repenting. Why? Because we're all sinners. And we all sin. God said himself that if you just confess it to me, I am faithful and I will forgive you of those sins and I will cleanse you. I'll make your life better. But I need for you to fess up. It's not enough for you to just go on. It's not enough just for you to live your life like there's no issue. It's not enough for you to stay in the same place and feel sorry for yourself. There's a part you got to play. You got to get up. The son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, I know any father in here, right about that time, your heart would be melting for your daughter or your son. Can I get a witness? Because you don't want to see them in pain, but sometimes they have to go through the pain in order to get back home. You see, if I'm going to get back right with you, then I need to repent. I go back to the marriage. You know, if you've been unfaithful, what you need to do is fess up. What you need to do is to, you know, to go to your wife or go to your husband and say, hey, we've made some big mistakes, and sometimes they forgive you and sometimes they won't. God will always forgive you, but a person may not. But still, you need, if you're going to go forward and if you're going to be right, then you need to fess up. You need to own it. You need to go back to the very place where it all started from. And that is in your heart when you said to your daddy, give me what's mine. You didn't own the farm. You didn't do the plant. You know, that's where it all started, from your ego, from your selfishness. I've got to repent. I've got to say, man, I don't care how good you may think you are, but each and every one of us must approach the Lord from a position of repentance, which means I'm going to turn around. You see, I can't look at your life and tell where you need to turn around. I can't look at you and tell where, you know what, I need to get closer here. I need to get closer to the Lord here in this area. I can't look at you, but I can look at me. My self-examination says, Leroy, you're not all that. I don't care how much people praise you. I don't care how much they give you tapes. I don't care how much they say you've done this and you've achieved that. You know exactly where you are. And you know exactly what you need to do. So what are the first three principles here? Fed up, face up, and fess up. All right. Number four, fix up. Fix up. Luke 15, 22 through 24. You got to fix up. You come to Jesus as you are weary, wounded, and sad, but you don't stay there. You grow. It's called sanctification. But the Father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. You're going to fix him up. He's going to show him how it's done. Because you see, when you come home and you're in my house, we don't dress like that. We don't wear those things. Those things that you had out in the world, I know that's what you had there. But when you come back home, there's a certain way that you're supposed to look. And I'm going to show you how that looks. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you. Bring my best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his finger. You know, the diamond one, the big diamonds, and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. You know, all of the best fixings for this young man who had gone his own way, but he's now come back. This is how we get him started. You get him fixed up. You get him going. You help him out. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. When I was growing up, we had Pedro and Maria blessed me this morning. They were talking about my jacket, and I've only worn it about 19 times since I've been here, but that's okay. Anyway, they encouraged the old man. I want to thank them for that. But when I was growing up, we had three sets of clothing. Three, only three. And that was your school clothes, which is usually a pair of dark pants and a white shirt and a tie. You had to wear a tie with it. And you always knew first through third because it was a red tie. And then fourth through sixth, it was a blue tie. You had your play clothes, which was blue jeans and not Converses, but a pair of U.S. Kids, which wore out in about a week and a half. You know, they had a song that went along with, but don't believe that song. If you want shoes with lots of bounce, you know, it didn't work out. They'd be gone in a week and a half. But then again, we played on concrete, you know, and that didn't help matters out any. And then the third pair of clothes was your church clothes, which was actually the suit that you owned. The girls had a dress that they had. The suit and the tie and the shirt and the shoes. And on church, you did not mix those clothes up. You know, you did not have an option. On church, on Sunday, you went with suit. On school day, you had that school uniform. And when you went out to play, you had those play clothes. Today, we don't have those borders. I mean, people are not as formal about it, but you do have to teach your children and your grandchildren that most of them are going for careers. And when you get those tattoos on your face, they may keep you from getting that job. Or if you're wearing those kind of clothes because you like to go to certain places where that may keep you from getting your career. Can I get a witness? That piercing that you have in your navel and you got your shirt way up here so everybody can see it, you know, maybe that might be the thing that keeps people from saying, you know, I don't know if you're going to fit here. Why? Because what you're wearing doesn't fit here. Am I making sense? That I think that there is a time and a place where you let your kids know that some of everything doesn't go. And scripture says the expectation of you as a follower of Jesus Christ in Ephesians 6 is that at some point you're going to change your clothes. You're going to put on the right helmet. Can I get a witness? You're going to put on the right breastplate. You're going to put on the right belt. You're going to put on the right shoes. You're going to put on the right sword. Because you see, you're not ready for war if you don't have your clothes on right. You see, we've got a uniform that we wear. We have a certain outfit because this is not just about going to church. As a matter of fact, you can't go to church. You can be the church, but you can't go to church. And if you're going to be the church, then you've got to have your war clothes on. Most of all, my sword. You see, if you want to get back to God, you got to get fixed up. You would be a misnomer to yourself or to anybody else to think that you can fight war the way that you have dealt with the world. Can I get a witness? Number five. There's six principles here. We're almost done. I know some of you are sleepy because you didn't get that hour in last night. I can see you. I see you sleeping on that road back there. If you have to, fired up. Let me see if you got, let me see how your memory. What's the first one? Fed up. Second one. Third one. Fourth one. And the fifth one, fired up. You know, I have learned something as a follower of Jesus Christ, that the more passion you have for the Lord, that's the fire. The more, it's like being married. The more passion that's there, the more willingness you are to sacrifice. The opposite side, well, as I say, the side of being fired up for God is really love, where you're willing to sacrifice, you're willing to give, and you want to be on the side of giving. The opposite of that is anger, where you want to hurt people. The opposite of love is where you want to hurt people. The same people. The only thing, you're showing anger. You're showing your passion, but in the wrong place. Misplaced passion. Look at what we see here in 25 through 28. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. Now we come to the other son. He came near the house. He heard music and dancing. You would have thought, he said, oh, it's a party going on. I didn't know we had a party at our house. Let me go get fixed up. Let me go get my stuff together because I like to party too. And so he called one of the servants and he asked him, what's going on up to the big house? He said, your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry. Misplaced fire. Misplaced. And he refused to go in. Oh, he was real angry. So his father went out and he pleaded with him. You see the love of the father there? Hey, don't do that. You have to go back to verse number 4. I don't want you to turn there right this minute, but write that down, because for years I overlooked this gem. It says in, I believe it's verse number 4, or maybe it's, yeah, somewhere in there. In our story, maybe it's 14. But it says that when he divided up his goods, he divided it between both the boys. He gave both of them equal parts. It wasn't that he was showing love to one and didn't show it to the other, but he gave both of them their part at the same time. And so it's not just my son, but this is your brother. He's come home. Yes, he has wasted it. Yes, he invested it wrongly. Yes, he did all kind of deeds that were not in line with our value system, but he's back now. He's ready to get his life on the right track. Hallelujah. I know somebody can identify with this in it right now. You've got your kid's picture right up in your mind right there. That's my boy right there. That's my daughter right there who squandered all of my tuition money. Now, you probably wouldn't have came to church this morning. You'd be trying to find that kid. You're going to give me my money back. I put that money in for you to go to school, and you laid up there and went to sleep, didn't even go to class. No. You see, God wants us to be in a love relationship with him, where there's nothing else that we love more. There is nothing else on our minds more. There is nothing else that grabs our heart like he does. I'm fired up. How many of you in here are fired up for Jesus? How many? I know you lost that hour of sleep last night, but you know what? I am here this morning as a demonstration of my love for Jesus, because I believe that this is one of the places that I can get closer to the Lord. I know there are going to be some other folk who wanted to sleep in this morning, but they're here too. Why? Because they're on fire for the Lord. As a matter of fact, if your fire is lower than mine, come on and jump in and let's fire up everybody. This is a good place to come to get your fire turned on. And not just on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we have, you know, other types of meetings together, because where two or three of us are gathered together, y'all don't hear me, in his name, he's there also. Is there some people in your family that you are glad when you have a family gathering? And are there some people in your family and you said, oh no, did we have to? Everybody's got one or two of those, right? You know, the ones who come in, they want to kiss you in the face. I remember as a child, always had uncles and aunts. They want to kiss you right in the mouth. And I know they've been drinking. And they come in and give me a big old kiss. And I'm going. But then there was some like Grandma Sally, Grandma Brown, who I was glad to see. And I was fired up long before I even got there, long before they even got there. You see, when you have a relationship of closeness to the Lord, you get fired up. You don't have to wait until you come through the doors. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning to get a hymn in your heart. You're fired up every day, sometime all through the night. Last one, freed up. I'm freed up. Ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Shall set you free. You know what the big problem was with the second son? Is that he did everything right, but for the wrong reasons. He thought he was a slave for his father. Matter of fact, he tells him, I slaved for you. I stayed home. You know, I got to imagine if it, my daddy would have said, Deacon Tom, but you didn't invest that money I gave you. You didn't multiply it. You didn't do the things that I would expect you to do to start a life. You were here. You just did nothing. That's not any better than him going out there and wasting everything. I don't want you to be my slave. I want you to be my child. I want you to love me because you love me. Listen to him. This is the older boy speaking. But he answered his father, look, all these years, can you hear him? All these years, I've been what? I've been slaving for you. Never disobeyed your orders. Never got out of line. Never did anything wrong. And yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my, he gave him half of the inheritance. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, you know, when folk want to bring your sin out, there was nothing about prostitutes said in this story until the older boy brought this in, you know. I mean, it was bad enough that he squandered everything on riotous living, but he had to bring it up. You know he was out there with those prostitutes. And you killed the fatted calf for him. And hear the words of the father. My son, the father said, you're always with me. You have everything that I own. Does that sound like everybody's the father that we have? I have 1,000 hills with all of the cattle on them, and they're yours. You don't have to worry about if I'm going to give you your share. You don't have to worry about if I'm going to give you your part. You don't have to worry about if somebody's going to get more or less than you. What I have for you, I've already designated from the beginning of time. It's right here written in my book. Everything I have is yours. I don't want you to be my slave. I want you to love me because I'm worthy. I want you to love me because you love me. Well, but we had to celebrate and be glad. Because this brother of yours, notice the tone changes. Not this son of mine, but your brother. He was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. Get up and get back to God. What's the first principle? Fed up. What's the second principle? Face up. What's the third principle? Fess up. Confess. Fourth principle? Fix up. Fifth principle? Fired up. How many are fired up for the Lord today? And the sixth principle? Freedom. I'm free. I don't have to wait on somebody to come and free me. I don't have to wait. I'm not waiting on anybody to give me anything. Because my eyes have seen the glory, and it's the glory of the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. Get up and get back to God. It's time to get up. Here's what the invitation is this morning. And I don't know where the word of God hits you. But if you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sin, your coming back to the Father is really beyond all of these. Because these suggest that you have experienced God before. And now you're saying you can examine yourself and say, you know what? That's better. But if you've never really experienced God before, you've never been saved, you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. The invitation is first to you. First to you. How do we do that here? You come before the folk and you let them know, I want to be a part of God's family. And as I said, on the fifth Sunday this month, we're going to baptize and you be a part of that baptism. That's for anybody. You know, I know sometimes adults look like they've been saved. And the adults can do it real good. You know that saved look always looks like this. And sometimes they've never been baptized. They've never gone through the water. And that's sort of like shacking up. You know, marriage is marriage. You can't shack up with God. So that's the first invitation. The second invitation is for those who want to be a part of, I've been baptized. I've accepted Jesus, but I want to be a part of this church. I believe that this church is on fire. I believe that this church is going somewhere. And above all of that, I believe that God said, this is the place for me to be. I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to invite you to fess up. I'm going to invite you to repent. Today's your day. Maybe you just need prayer. Maybe you just need somebody to come and hold you up while you think about the decisions that you need to make. So I'm going to ask our music ministers to come. I'm going to ask our counselors to come. I'm going to ask our congregation to stand. You see, to get back to God, I got to get up. I got to get up. Got to get fed up, face up. I got to do something. But I refuse to sit here in the same spot and not change. Doors of the church are open. Won't you come?